Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, running after us, Lord. And I want to thank you for that today. I want to thank you for that great promise that you've given to us in Scripture and in the Word. That, Lord, that you are with us, that you're behind us, that you're in front of us, that you're around us, that you're above us, that you're beneath us, Lord. You surround us with words of life, songs of victory, songs of joy. Father, you sing over us. We thank you for that today. And oh, Father, as you stand, as you sit at your throne, Lord Jesus, as you stand at the right hand of the Father God and ever live to make intercession for us, confessing us before the Lord, before God, we want to thank you and worship you who you are. You are worthy, Lord, worthy of your name. The name Jesus, our Savior and Deliverer, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your word today. Lord, I want to pray that it not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here. I pray, Lord, that we'd be controlled by love today. Nothing else in this life, controlled by you. Controlled by the love of God, controlled by God, led by the Spirit. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless this as we continue in this series about being controlled by love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you got your Bibles, we're going to start again at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we've been the last 6 weeks, talking about being controlled by love. By the love of Christ. And this is what Paul said in his life. He said that we are controlled by the love of Christ. And what that means is if you're controlled by the love of Christ, there's nothing else in this life that's controlling you. There's nothing else in this life that's yanking your chain, pushing your button. This great God comes into my life, into your life, to control us. Not like some puppet on a string, but just that controls us like we saw in the last few weeks in this word. That he comes to control us or to compel us or to constrain us or us to be preoccupied, to take hold of, to be pressed on every side with the love of Jesus. And that's what he says in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, Jesus died for all. Therefore, when we come to him, we've all died. We've all died to ourself, to our flesh, to the things of this world, to the things of this life, so that we're no longer living for ourselves. Listen, no longer living for ourselves, but the one who gave himself up for us. This is why we're controlled by love. So we're not living for ourselves. We're not living for me, my, I. We're not trying to get all we can and count all we got. We're just the people that want to continually be constrained, controlled, compelled by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love what he says. We are controlled by the love of Christ. Not maybe, not what if, not one day. No, right now, controlled by the love of Jesus. Do you believe that you can be controlled in your life, in your marriage, in your family, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a person in the work field, as an employer, employee? Do you believe that you are to be controlled by Jesus? Changed your world. Controlled by love. Controlled by the love of God. And we've been looking at these two words in the context of the things in this life that will control us. And we've talked about how past hurts and how past struggles and past wounds and the things that people have done to us can control us all the way till we die instead of the love of Jesus controlling us. And then we talked about how we allow the things of the past that were failures, that were sin patterns and sin habits and the things that we failed in. And all of a sudden, we're 10 years beyond that trying to seek Jesus. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes and reminds us. And before it long, we're not being controlled by the love that delivered us. We're being controlled with regret and shame and guilt. And if you're controlled by love, there's no guilt, no shame, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Controlled by the love of Jesus. You know, as I've been thinking about the whole thought of love, we've been just kind of narrowing it down from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, that this love is patient, kind, unprovoked, never keeping a record. Hear that again? I'm telling you, I want you to memorize that. Love is patient, love is kind, love is unprovoked, it never keeps a record. And the best thing that can ever happen to you after you discover and accept the love of God and receive the love of Jesus in your life is to go on the rest of your life controlled by the love, so you're no longer living for yourself, but you're living for God. Because everyone knows what it means to live for self. There's nothing you want in living for self. You've already experienced that. You've already tried that. And I must tell you, it has not worked for you. Is that right? But when I live for God, it all comes together when I'm controlled by the love of Christ. And the question we're asking, what is it that you has you in your grip? Now, as I was walking through the whole week thinking about part of this series is, I was going to get to this today, but I think we're going to get to it in a couple of weeks, is how we are controlled by the future that's never happened. And we walk in worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. But something happened to John Ann and I this week that just got me to thinking. You know, I'm finding that the world's becoming more hostile, more divided. People are mad and people are angry. And we're seeing it everywhere. And people are flying off the handle quicker. We call that outburst of anger. Okay. And people are controlled by their anger. They're controlled by these, the Bible calls outburst of anger a lust of the flesh, a deed of the flesh. And so often the world, we look at it and we see they are controlled by this. And anger is nothing new. We deal with it. We're all tempted by it. Let me tell you, leave your house and move into traffic and you've set yourself up to be tempted to be angry. Is that right? Or if you're going to surround yourself with people like you're supposed to do, listen, you're headed to a place because we're people and we're fallen that somebody's going to hurt our feelings and somebody's going to do something to us or somebody's going to say something to us that we don't like. And before you know it, we're flying off the handle. On Wednesday nights, we talked about it. We're spinning out of control. With outburst, anger, things that should not be coming out of our mouths in that moment. And if you're controlled by love and you're moving through love, I'm going to tell you, I believe there'll be no place for anger. No place for it. You know, I think about this. I thought about anger this week, or actually the last couple of days, just working through this. And you know, I think anger's a spectrum. There's a spectrum of it. And, you know, it's where we're not loving, so we become impatient. And then we become bothered or wounded. And then we're unkind. Have you ever said, that person rubs me the wrong way? I don't like being around that person. That person just puts digs in me. And I don't like being around her. I don't like being around them. And you've said it and you've spoken it. You all have, right? Well, I want to tell you, you got impatient, bothered, and when you spoke it, you were unkind. I was unkind. You were walking in a spectrum of anger, even though you might not have gotten red in the face and blew up yet. But you're on the spectrum where you are impatient because love is patient, and when you're not patient, you are impatient. And let's just say, is impatience a sin with people? Is that a sin? It's a sin. Okay. It is a sin. So you get impatient, bothered, or wounded, unkind, and then all of a sudden you get offended. And this can happen. This can happen in a flat dog second. I don't know what a flat dog is. Somebody's going to write a book about all my stuff I say that don't make sense. But I think you get it. I mean, in the moment. Impatient, bothered, wounded, unkind, and all of a sudden offended. And it can happen in a moment. And it does happen in a moment. And then all of a sudden that offense, if I'm meddling in it and I'm allowed it to meddle in me, all of a sudden I'm angered. And if I walk in that anger, I'm unforgiving. And then if you continue to walk in unforgiveness, you get bitter. And then here's the ultimate murder. Listen, the very beginning, impatient, the ultimate murder. That's what it is. It's the spectrum. You know, in any given time when things aren't going our way or we're struggling with something, with people, with words, with life, or with anything going on, I can look at myself and say, I'm getting on the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum by being impatient, bothered, wounded, and unkind. Now, I mean, you know, I thought of this week because, let me just tell you the story. So, we found an electric dirt bike razor for our grandchildren on the internet for $125. Okay. And so John Ann got on the phone talking to this guy. Yeah, it works. It's been in storage. It's not charged, but it works. And she said, you know, we bought one before and then we got it home and didn't keep a charge and lost that. And this is for our grandkids. She said, oh, your grandkids are going to love this. It's going to be wonderful. It's just fine and everything. So we drive up to the Dairy Queen on Interstate 10 and we get out and they talk to us a little bit. And John Ann's got some doubts. I've got some doubts. And we make the swap. We get home, we plug it in, wake up the next morning, and it don't keep a charge. It don't keep a charge. And all of a sudden, I'm getting bothered. Because that razor, that $125 razor, is not keeping a charge. And I'm getting bothered by it. They stole from us, lied to us, right? They just did. That's what's going through my mind. Stole through us, lied to us. About the only great thing about the day is we had time together up to almost Mineral Wells and back, and it was a great ride. When we woke up, it didn't keep a charge. And this stuff, if you let it, a $125 razor will start putting murder thoughts in your heart. Is that right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? All of a sudden, these little thoughts for $125. And so when we're talking, we get to talk a little bit about it. Now I'm not blown up yet. I've just been bothered, okay? But I'm moving that way. And I'm ready to speak some judgment, and I'm ready to speak some unkind things and that kind of stuff. And so when finally we kind of get back together, I said, hey, it's not charging. She said, no. I said, what are you doing? What do you do about it? I said, well, I post it back to her and said, hey, it's not charged, and she's blocked me. Okay. So what do you think? She says, you know, I got out of that car. We got out of that car, and I saw those babies in the back seat, and I saw the need, and I had to give them the $125. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. So let me just tell you this. I didn't get past bothered. I didn't get past bothered. I didn't get past, well, I might have been a little unkind. And you know, I look back over that on Thursday. This happened on Thursday. And I don't know about you, but we can allow the stuff of this world to work us up. And before not long, you've got thoughts in your head that says, man, I wish these people ill for what they did. Instead of asking God to look at them, for us to look at them through the eyes of being, watch me, controlled by love. Listen, it's these moments that'll rob you from your peace, take your joy. It's these moments like this, because I'm just going to tell you, most of us in this place, we deal with $125 stuff. Matter of fact, most of us deal with $10 stuff or $5 stuff. And before long, because somebody said it, because somebody did it, we're moving through the spectrum from impatient, bothered, unkind, offended, angered, unforgiving, bitter, thoughts of murder, thoughts of ill will. And you step back from that and you say, I'm not being controlled by the love of Christ. I'm living for myself right now. I'm not living for this great God who died for me while I was a sinner, while I was ungodly, while I was an enemy of the cross. This God was patient and kind and unoffended and unangered and forgiving and had nothing about bitterness toward me. No, he saved you and he saved me with the compassion that has been put in your heart, so that when somebody is taking from you, or somebody is stealing from you, or somebody is speaking ill of you, or something's doing something that you don't think they ought to be doing, or somebody's doing something to you that is hurtful or to your kids or hurtful, I don't want to be found on the spectrum. Do you? I don't want to be found on the spectrum. But how often do we feel or see ourselves on that spectrum? And it may be a moment, and it may be a couple of minutes, it may be a couple of hours, it could be a couple of weeks, and for some people, it's just a lifetime. It's just a lifetime. And so, thinking about this, God, I want to default to love. I want to default to kindness. I want to default to patience. I want to default from not being provoked and not taking into a record, taking a record into account, suffered. I want to live like Jesus. Because there's nothing you want in impatience, bothered, unkindness, let alone offended, angered, unforgiving, and bitter. Don't even want to get on that treadmill. Don't even want to get on that. And I'm just going to say this because I know me and I know human nature and I've seen it. Every one of us have the propensity to walk from this place after hearing a message and get in that car and start getting impatient, bothered, and unkind. And I'm saying this, that you have the power of God because you have the love of God in you. The agape love of Jesus. It's living in you. It is in your heart. It is in your life. And so what I want to say is don't start stewing in this stuff. Start stewing in the love of Christ. Because I want to tell you, it makes a better stew. Amen. We call it gumbo. Y'all call it stew. Okay. And so I want to just say, listen, we don't have to walk this way. We don't have to live in this. We don't have to move into this impatience where we're starting to speak things that aren't lovely, that aren't kind, that aren't good, that aren't edifying. Even if somebody else is hearing us. Because before long, you'll find somebody. And matter of fact, the people closest to you will come along and say, oh man, you ought to just go on up there, you know. Have you ever played little games with yourself, what you should have done? I started that. I should have taken a picture of their license plate. That's awful. Awful. I could have done this, could have done that. But if I'm praying for them, and I'm lifting them up, and I'm asking God to have mercy on them, and I have this compassion and this love for them to find Jesus, because it's obvious the God-shaped hole in their lives is not being filled with God. It's being filled with something else. And so I stop, I take stock of myself, and I ask the question, is there any reason why I want to go to the next level in this thing? No, I don't. And the only default is the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. And you know, we talked about that last week when this Father God in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, said in no uncertain terms, that listen, that we are, that He is God, that He is our Father. We are children of God, our Father. And who do the children of God look like? They look like God. They act like God, like Jesus. They react like Jesus. They move in life like that. Because I want to tell you this, anger never ever achieves the righteousness of God. Outbursts of anger are deeds of the flesh. And when you have an outburst of anger, everybody around you is defiled. And anger towards a brother finds guilt in the courts of God. Have you heard that? Have you heard that before? It's in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. I think I have a little time to go through that. So go to Matthew chapter 5 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Sermon on the Mount. You know, I love, how many of you love the words of Jesus? These are red letter words. They're red letter words. And when you read this, I'm going to tell you this. This is banked. This is banked off. This is jumped off from the command that you shall not murder. Okay. You shall not murder. And that's what he says. He says, you've heard it said of the prophets, you shall not murder. And if you commit murder, you're liable to the court. But I'm saying to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Huh? That good for nothing bothers me. Do you see the spectrum? Or if you say, you fool, watch this. You're guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And if you're presenting your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, you leave your offering before the altar and you go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And here's the Old Testament, you shall not murder. Which Jesus says, hey, don't be angry and don't say unkind things about your brother. Because you're as guilty as the murderer who's sitting in a life sentence. Now, I'm not saying, listen to me, there are consequences to that. I mean, there are more consequences to this. But I'm just going to tell you, you walk in it, you walk in anger, you walk in unforgiveness, and you've got stuff against other people, okay? Let alone somebody having something against you. And you have that, listen, we want to do everything we can. We're going to talk about this at the very end. And everything we can to make that right. But in order to make that right, we got to be right in our hearts. And we got to name what God names. Everybody said, we love the words of Christ. You just said that. It's the red letter. And you know why I love this? Because it's good when we practice it. It's fruitful when we practice it. It brings peace when we practice it. It brings life to the people around us when we practice it. Am I right? Because that's the word. And what Jesus does, he's not saying, I'm going to make it more difficult for you. No, I'm going to show you attitudes. I'm going to show you words. And you may never take the life of somebody. You may never shed the blood of someone. But when you hold these things in your heart, it is hurting you, and it is hurting your family, and it is hurting the people around you. And God doesn't want you to hurt. Amen? So he gives us instruction, especially the red letter. And these are the sound words of Jesus. And the sound words of Jesus will agree with a doctrine conforming to godliness, because the sound words of Jesus, if you'll practice them, will conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. It's the sound words of Jesus. And they're good, and they're lovely. And listen, if you've got the Spirit of God, I want to tell you, if you've got the Spirit of God, you can rest in him to do it through you. So that when something happens to you, like something small, I'm just going to tell you, on the grand scheme of things, $125 is a small thing. But I certainly don't want to lose a month of my life over it, let alone 10 minutes over it. Because that's what I've done. And that's what you'll do. And that's what some of us have done in this place. Because somebody bothered us or wounded us. And I want to tell you this. I'll tell you this. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, when I'm wounded or if somebody does something that's hurtful for me, I'm telling you it's okay to mourn over it. It's okay to be not okay with it. Please hear what I'm saying. John Ann wasn't in the end zone spiking footballs thinking, yoo-hoo, we got stolen, okay? Not talking about it. She's just praying for this couple and this family. Saying, asking God for mercy. Asking God for God's grace. And I'm just going to say this. If you can do it for $125, you can do it for $125,000. I believe that with all my heart. Faithful in the little, be faithful in the big. Never heard something like that before, did you? And that's why we want to live like Jesus. Because it brings life. It brings life to our soul, to the life of our spouse, to the life of our kids, to the life of our family, to the life of our friends and everyone around us. Because we're responding Christ-like. Because we are defined. Our identity is found in that kind of God who acts that kind of way to you and me. And by the way, I love what he says. You are the children of God. If you turn to 1 John chapter 3, we're going to finish from last week using this context. And then I want to just talk to you about an Old Testament character who was the first angry guy that ever lived. by the name of Cain. So 1 John chapter 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3, we'll skip through some of this because we saw it last week. If you're new to us, if you're watching online, you can go back and find the last part of the message last week. And so he says it in 1, I'm going to remind you, see how great a love the Father's bestowed upon us? That we're called children of God. And we are. We are children of God. And for this reason, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. And beloved, now we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God, amen. And it's not yet appeared what we're going to be. In other words, we're not there yet. But we know that when he finally appears, when he comes and we see him, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope, this anticipation, this God hope in him will purify himself just as Jesus is pure. And then he goes on and he says things like in verse 8 or verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he's righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil. And the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. No one who's born of God, no one who has God as his father will continue to practice sin because God's seed abides in him and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And by this, the children of God and the children of the devil, they're obvious. Anyone who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother, nor the one who refuses to be controlled by the love of God. Notice what he said. He goes on to say here, very, 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 very important. So listen, we know that we're children of the Father God because we no longer are practicing sin. Now, I'm not saying you become perfect. Please hear me. You've heard me say this. I haven't said it in a while. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Hey, can we say that together? Not about perfection. It's about what? Direction. And we're directing this way. We've got our faces toward it. So that when I'm at the place of impatience or I'm at the place of the outburst of anger and I've spit up on everybody, I want to take stock of my life to say, oh, that ought not be. That ought not be. That ought not come out of my life. So Lord, I want you to do something in my soul, in my spirit, so that my spirit, my soul or my heart or my mind or just my emotions, Lord, are controlled by you. We no longer practice sin. We practice righteousness. And the Bible says we love our brothers and our sisters. We're patient, kind, unprovoked, and never keep a record of wrong. We love them. We love them. And then he says, and we know the message. We know it. We've always heard it, the Bible says, from the beginning. Notice verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning. Listen, this is what we told you. I, John the apostle, one of the three who saw his glory, one of the three that followed him for 3 years, one of the three, the disciple whom Jesus loved, we heard this from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Verse 14, we know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren, because we're patient and we're kind and we're unprovoked and we don't take into a record wrong. Is this some kind of pie in the sky? Absolutely not. I saw my wife walk in it. I saw her responding in it. I saw her living in that, stewing in that, instead of stewing in something else. And I'm going to tell you, I had the water boil, but it wasn't boiling yet. And I got to take it off the stove so that I wouldn't move into the places that I knew would be unhealthy for me in those moments. And that's why I'm just saying this is not some pie in the sky. This is the power of God. This is the certainty of who we are in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, you know these things. You know these things. And that's how we choose, and that's how we walk in it, because he's our father. I know he's my father, and I know I'm his son. And what greater, like we talked last week, greater identity is that? That's all you need. God is my father, I'm his son. God is my father, I'm his daughter. Listen, sons and daughters of God. This is who we are. And because of who we are, this is how we live. And if you've not been living that way, two things. Maybe you don't know him and you're not born again. Or second, you've just forgotten who you are and the purification from the sins that God has done. You've just forgotten. Isn't that what happens when we're in the middle of it? We forget. We forget. And I don't know about you, I don't want to forget anymore. I want to be controlled by the love of Jesus. And he says, listen, I'm telling you, you've heard this message from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Listen, this is who we are. We know love by this. Wait, I'm sorry. Look back, 14 again. We know that we pass out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death, and everyone who's hating his brother, watch, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has these world's goods sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him. How does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And we will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. Listen, this is where we find this great assurance. Because the children of the devil, they don't do this stuff. They do something other and walk in it. And so if you look at your life and you look back and you've got a string of people and a string of offenses, all these things, maybe you need to take stock of your life. Or maybe you know him, but you're forgetting who you are in Jesus. And it's time to remember. It's time to embrace it. It's time to bless it. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. We'll look at this for just, I'm just going to take 3 or 4 minutes. Chapter 4. You know the story, right? It's not long after creation. It's not long after perfection. They're perfect once. In chapter 3, we found how perfection was lost, how the promise was lost. And these fallen people, Adam and Eve, start having fallen kids. Okay? The Bible says after the fall that the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the flocks. Cain was the tiller of the ground. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought up an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you're doing well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you're not doing well, sin's crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. You must master over it. So Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Why did Cain do that? Well, we know that in New Testament, he killed him because his deeds were evil. Why did God reject his offering? Some people would tell you that it's because it wasn't a blood offering. I'm going to tell you, you go to Scripture and there's grain offerings that are just as acceptable. Grain offerings. Plant offerings. The first of your produce. It has nothing to do with Abel's blood sacrifice in his. He didn't have lambs. He had the fruit of the ground. Bible says that he killed him because his deeds were evil. And I want to suggest to you that's why his sacrifice wasn't accepted. It's really important. Sacrifice was not accepted, this is what I believe. It's because he was trying to substitute sacrifice for righteous living. And when you decide that you're going to substitute sacrifice, you might give $100,000 one day, but still be lost as a goose or be all Is that a right one too? Lost is a goose? Is that right? Okay. Lost is a goose, right? Right. In a snowstorm? Is that what that means? Okay. Or in August, who didn't go anywhere, right? Lost the goose. You even lost the goose. You can have nothing going on for you spiritually. But you think, okay, if I give this sacrifice, I'll be okay. And I want to tell you, sacrifice will never, ever be enough. Sacrifice is an offering to our God. Because we are walking in righteousness. And the only way you walk in righteousness is by faith. Not by yourself. And that's what he does. He tries to substitute it. And God doesn't take it. And he gets angry. His countenance falls. Matter of fact, he says, hey, if you were doing well right now, your countenance would be lifted up right now. I'd have received your offering and you'd have been happy with it. But there's something else going on. You got evil in your heart. And John will write about it. We just read about it. You got evil in your heart. And he's on the spectrum, folks. Patient with God, offended with God, offended by his brother. I mean, he's on the spectrum. I mean, he's mad now. He's angry now. He's got outbursts of anger now. He's got murder in his heart. And he goes through with it. Even after God said, hey, I've given you an opportunity to master this thing. I'm giving you an opportunity to walk away from this thing. I'm giving you an opportunity to do this. But you know, that's what happens in the heat of arguments. God gives you an opportunity to walk away from it and you don't. And what happens is you hurt your spouse, you hurt that person more and more because you didn't walk out of it and you had the opportunity to do it, but you didn't take the opportunity because you were so offended and so mad and so angry. I want to tell you this, not as Cain, who was the evil one. He's of the evil one. His deeds are evil. And I'm just want to tell you this, I believe with all my heart, he had the opportunity because sin was crouching at the door to overcome him. He had the opportunity, listen to me, to be like his brother Abel, who knew his sinfulness, who knew the power of sacrifice, but also knew the power of righteousness. Absolutely, totally. He knew his God. He knew what God was wanted from him, and he wanted to live it out, even if it meant him blowing it a week ago or 2 weeks ago. They're bringing these first fruits to say, oh God, what a great God you are. Lord, I want to thank you for who you are, what you've given to me, and I lay these things at your feet as an offering to you, not to substitute it for righteous living. But to do what pleases you. So I just want to tell you, he takes up an offense, he gets angry, his countenance falls. I often, you've heard me say, have you ever seen a happy, bitter man or woman? They're never happy. Never. Your countenance falls, sin crouches at your door. The Bible says you must master it. And then he doesn't do it. And then all of a sudden the voice of his brother's blood's crying out to him. And then he says, if we were to walk on, because we don't have the time to, but he walks on and he says, listen, you're going to be cast away from my presence. The ground will no longer yield its fruit to you. So there's no increase in your life. You become spiritually barren. And all of a sudden, even Cain says, hey, I'm going to become a vagrant and a wanderer. And I see it all the time. Spiritual vagrants and wanderers, because they started with impatience and they ended up with anger and bitterness. And maybe a couple that I've known, simply because of my work in prison, ended up murdering people. And I tell you this, listen to me, if you're in Jesus today, this is not you. This is not you. And if you're toying with some things in your mind, if you're working some things in your mind about just other people and other folks, I want to tell you, you can stop right now before sin crouching at the door jumps on you. You have the power today to walk away, to be controlled by the love of Jesus in a very, very powerful way. Now, I want to do this. I know time is beyond us, but I really want to finish this. because this last section is really, really important. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, and I'm just going to give you four things, and I'm just going to name them off, okay? Hebrews chapter 12. I love what he says in this this first verse. Listen, we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Number one, are you offended? Are you being impatient? Are you being unkind? Get your eyes off that person and put your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's what you do. You Bible says it this way, and Paul says this in a different way. He says, get your eyes off the temporal and put it on the eternal. Get your eyes off of what's happening to you at the next morning when the battery doesn't make a charge. Okay. You get your eyes on him. This can go from something so trivial that I'm talking about to something that's really, really hurtful, really, really painful, really, really hard. Okay? I've got to get my mind out of the temporal. Amen. I've got to get it off. I've got to get it off that person who's maybe wronged me or has said things, or and there's a maybe even a history of it. If it's a family member and it's a history of it, you've got to get your eyes off of the temporal and put it on the eternal. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus because you're running this race. If you're offended or if you've got anything part of this spectrum, believe what Jesus secured at the cross and receive what he has for you. Receive this life sooner than later. Okay. Sooner than later. And sooner to me is right now, right here, to be able to let go of the things that are bothering me about people, about certain people, individual people. And Jesus secured it. He said, listen, hey, he fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the perfecter of faith who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I want to just suggest something to you. Why was he joyful? He was joyful because of what the cross would do for you and me. For the very trivial to the very life-changing events in your life. This is what our God does. And this is who we line up to. And this is who we believe. Third, always pursue peace with all men. And that just means always ready to forgive. Look at verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see God. And I'll give you the next one. The next one is if you're hurt or you've been burned or if you've been sinned against, you have God's grace. Watch. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness will spring up, cause trouble, and by it many be defiled. I've got the grace of God. Now, I'm back up just for a moment. Always pursue peace with all men. Always ready to forgive. Now, in your notes, I think, do I have the prayer of forgiveness that we've seen before? Is it in there? It's in your notes. So I'm not gonna go through it, but I just want to tell you, there's a prayer here that we've walked so many of you through, okay? It's a powerful prayer. But here's my purpose for doing that, is I want to live this prayer in this way, in such a way, so the moment it comes my way, when it comes my way, listen, I'm not offended. And yeah, there might be something to forgive, but I certainly don't have to walk through all of that. All I can say is, I forgive. Instead of saying, I'm done, have you ever said that? How many of you said that? I'm done. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We've all said it. And that's about the most unkind thing I've ever said. I'm done. Because I have the power in my life, and you, church, have the power in your life to absolutely never be done. Because I have an attitude of Jesus Christ, who keeps running after you and running after you and running after you and running after you and me. And that's what we celebrate today. The prayer, listen, is to say, you know what? To maybe admit I have been hurt. I have been disappointed. But you know what? Right now, right here, I'm not going to walk. I'm going to take care of this right now, and I'm going to walk in forgiveness. Over the $5 debt or the $1 million debt, I am going to forgive like Jesus by his power. If I've been hurt, burned, or sinned, I've got this God's grace. It's so powerful. And I just want to say this. If you'd bow with me in prayer, this grace, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, that we get to enter into the throne room of grace to find grace and mercy in our time of need. And if you're angry today, or if you're on that spectrum, you need to get into the Holy of Holies today, the throne room of grace, to receive the mercy of God for you, and the mercy of God to extend to the offender, and then the grace of God to overpower and to walk in the power of God, so that when you walk out of the throne room of grace, that you're walking out empowered and equipped to do this awesome work of Jesus. And then one last thing. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. Patient, kindness, unprovoked, never keeping a record, covers a multitude of sins. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for this morning. I want to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would be a people that are never, ever controlled by anger or any part of the spectrum of anger. That, God, that we would move in such a way that we're not living for ourselves, but we're living for the one who gave himself up for us. That, Father, that as you hit the cross, they nailed you on the cross and they dropped the cross into the hole, having nailed your hands and feet, having set a crown of thorns on your head, first thing out of your lips, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I thank you that God is the God who answers prayers like that. And I pray that we'd be about it. Father, even if somebody steals from us, lies to us, cuts us in traffic, the person that has said awful things, people that sometimes have come and we've been ruined financially because of them. I want to ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would teach us, show us how to walk in the love of Christ and be controlled by love and not by anger. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.